Today on the Scott Radley Show on 900 CHML.
Welcome to the Scott Radley Show for this Wednesday evening, hump day evening. Excuse me, you'll hear that again before we're done. Battling the dreaded springtime cold. It has landed with a fury. Yes, and it's amazing though how different our world is today, that a cold now immediately leads to, uh-oh, what if it's something else? I mean, a simple cold is now, what if it's COVID? What if it's not the simple kind of COVID? What if it's a serious kind of COVID? What if I'm heading towards something really bad? Well, it's been a few days. It's been picking up steam, but not, you know, it's what it is. It's a cold. I've done the tests. I've taken the tests. Not COVID. But could you imagine? Now, I haven't gone out of the house except to go for a little walk today, but could you imagine going into a place where there are other people today in our new world and have a stuffy nose or cough or sneeze or something around people? You would have people lose their minds at you. Even if it was just a cold, the idea that someone might have a cold and, you know, but it's got to be COVID. They would go into a public place. People would lose their minds at you. It's an interesting world we live in now. And again, I'm not suggesting that if you have a cold, you should go and spread all your cold germs to everyone else either. But hands up those who may have done that at some point along the way in their life and managed to do so without being ostracized from society or getting the terrible stink eye from someone else in the store. Even if you just had to go to the store to buy cough candies or some sort of medication, do that now with a cold? Oh, the people would lose their minds at you. Anyway, I will survive. You just may hear a cough now and then, or I'm going to try and control the sniffling and absolutely try and control the sudden giant sneeze into the microphone to make someone have a heart attack. I mean, believe me, I understand how loud a sudden sneeze into your speaker would be and how startling that might be. Some poor person sitting at home sipping on a hot beverage when I suddenly sneeze at full volume, they pour the whole thing all over themselves. I will do my very best. I've got the mute button on standby, but I'm betting I'm not the only one, though. It's the time of year. So if you're with me, if you too are enjoying a nice springtime cold, welcome to the club. Glad you're along. Glad you're along on the show today. That's what we're really glad you're along with. If you're healthy, even happier for you, but glad you're along. Let me tell you what's coming up on the show today. We're going to be talking about an endorsement for a political party. Two endorsements, in fact, for one of our Ontario political parties. That if I lived to be 500, I'm pretty sure I never expected to see. These endorsements are wild, I thought. We'll get into what they are. Give you a hint. It's a union, and it's not endorsing the NDP, and it's not endorsing the Liberals, and it's not endorsing the Green Party. Start to do the math here. Who a couple of unions are endorsing. Bottom of the hour, we're going to be chatting about this story that appeared today, predictably, I suppose, because these things do tend to come up in election campaigns. But it is about Stephen Lecce, the Minister of Education, who 15 years ago, give or take, I think it's a little over 15 years ago, while he was a university student, participated in what was called a slave auction for charity. Now, best I can tell, and we'll get into this later on. Best I can tell, nobody was dressed as a slave per se, but it was the concept that you were auctioning off people as slaves for charity. And there are now groups, including the Ontario NDP, saying this is outrageous, this is offensive, this is dehumanizing. He should step away from politics immediately because anyone who would be part of a slave auction is not in a position to hold any position of power. Do you agree? I'm going to open the phones on that one. Do you agree? Or do you say, look, if this happened last year, sure. If this happened this week, yes. This happened 15 years ago when he was in university. Surely, surely, back when we were young and doing stupid stuff, we're not going to be held accountable for every stupid decision we made once upon a time. However, not everyone agrees with that. We'll let you have your say on that one. Lots more other than that coming up. We got a very full show today. As always, the first segment of the Scott Radley Show is brought to you exclusively by Fox40Shop.com. For sport and for safety, it has to be Fox40Shop.com. Enter the promo code Radley at checkout, and you will get 25% off your order. We will pause here. We will reset. When we come back, the surprise of all endorsements. Who saw this coming? That's up next.
You're listening to the Scott Radley Show podcast on 900 CHML.
Scott Radley Show here on 900 CHML. So I don't know if you heard the story today. These things tend to come out during election campaigns for all different parties. Today it was the provincial conservatives who have to deal with it. Stephen Lecce, the education minister, a story written about him, says that back when he was in university 15 years ago, he participated in a slave auction when he was at Western. And this was a fraternity event where members were sold as slaves to raise money for charity. And so some, including the NDP, are saying this is outrageous, this is dehumanizing, he should immediately step away, this should not happen, you shouldn't be allowed to run or be in power or anything else if you've ever done this before. What do you think? I want to throw it to you because there's two ways to look at this. Three ways, let's say. One of them is, they're right. Anyone who's done anything that would be involved in anything playing on the word slavery is not suitable to be in power. Second one might be, well, you know, when you do something that you did once upon a time when you were really young, you know, we can't really hold that against you. And the third is that it's just a really long time ago. Kind of ties into the second one. But do you think that things, because we're getting this all the time now, this is on and on and on, it's an ongoing thing. Do you think that behaviors and things you did once upon a time when you were a kid, because he was a kid, he was in university. Do you think that those kind of things should be accountable for those later on in our life? And maybe let's make it a personal thing. If you went to college or you went to university or you didn't even go, but you did something, if you did something dumb when you were a teenager, and hands up all those who didn't do something dumb when they were a teenager. All right. I see none. If you did something dumb as a teenager, should that be something that would prevent you from moving forward as an adult? Should you have to wear that for the rest of your life? Or do we say, no, that was dumb and you were young, and as long as you're not continuing to do that, we'll just chalk that one up to a youthful indiscretion that you learned your lesson and you've grown up and matured and on we go. 905-645-3221 or *9900. Should people be held when taken to task and held accountable for behaviors that they did years ago? Or do we say, no, we've got to get past this and we've got to cut some slack and we've got to say, let's judge people by their behavior now? I'm in the latter category. Absolutely. 100% absolutely I'm in the latter category. Because again, I think that every single one of us, we're on till 8 tonight. I could go till 11 o'clock talking about stupid things I did as a kid. I can talk about stupid things I did as a kid for hours because I did a lot of stupid stuff. Not criminal, although this is not criminal. But, you know, just stuff that in retrospect, you look back and you go, what in the world was I thinking? Well, I wasn't. I wasn't thinking. That was the whole point. I would be, like many of you, I think, I would have no chance in life if suddenly you could look back at something I did when I was 14 or 15 or 16 and be held that that's the bar that I have to rise to, or that that's the weight that I have to carry around. Because it was stupid. And I don't do it anymore. But I did it once upon a time. So should that be the thing then? 905-645-3221 *9900. What do you think about this one? Is this a fair story? Because the education minister should be responsible for his behavior as a young person 15 years ago. Or is this a total nothing and just more example of holding people to a standard no one could possibly live up to? And by the way, the obvious comparative here is the prime minister with blackface, right? We all think that. And some of you have said, well, I was disgusted by the prime minister doing blackface. And that was years ago. So if we're going to say that he should not have done that, then we have to hold the same for Stephen Lecce. To a degree. And I'll tell you why it's only to a degree. There's two reasons. One is the prime minister, in at least one and maybe more than one of his blackface that we know of, was working as a teacher. So he wasn't a student. He was a professional by this point. If it was a year or two in, is it a big difference? Well, I think once you've taken on a job as someone who is responsible for, well, who is responsible, then yeah, we can probably make that case. And the second is, someone can pull up a clip for me if they can find one, and maybe one exists out there. But I don't recall Stephen Lecce being preachy about this kind of thing. I do recall the prime minister being very preachy about a lot of things that we shouldn't do. And so, you know, again, doesn't excuse behavior. But particularly if you are going to be somewhat pious and self-righteous about what we must do, if you're going to do that, then you really should be making sure there are no skeletons in your closet, or you address them up front and say, here's what I did once upon a time. I am ashamed of that. I would never do that again. That was stupid, youthful dumbness. But here it is. Here's what I did. And throw it all out there rather than having people find out about it. Because somehow when you're apologizing because someone found out, and that's the case with Lecce, to be fair, it just seems like, well, something was hidden. 905-645-3221 or *9900. Butch is up first today. Butch, how are you today?
Hey, I am well.
Excellent, Butch. I'm glad to hear that.
Gorgeous sunshine, warm day it was.
Couldn't be better, right?
Imagine.
So what do you think about this, Butch? Should we hold people to account for their behavior from years and years ago when they're kids, or should we let it go?
Well, I've got a couple of points here.
Okay.
And slavery in the North American mentality is negative.
Of course.
Okay? It's really negative, not to be condoned, sanctioned, or anything. But in biblical times, Romans and Greeks had slaves. And they were not in the same position as the black slaves that were transported across the Atlantic. They were treated very well, and, you know, take, for example, St. Patrick was a slave in Rome. And what happened? He got educated, and he went back. He was freed and went back to Ireland.
So the point then being, and just so, because we're short on time, but so the point is, slave has, it's the same word, but it may not mean the same thing to everybody.
Yeah, well, you are right. And in North America, slave means black and subjugated.
Yeah, it's well, but listen, I thank you for the call. It's a really interesting idea, and thank you again, by the way. It's a really interesting idea. Now, here's the thing. Stephen Lecce is in North America, so anyone who was at that, probably when you're thinking slave, I don't know. You know, here's the thing. I think that there's probably a whole bunch of people listening right now, depending on what your age of school was in the 70s, in the 80s, maybe into the 90s. I bet you there's a bunch of people listening right now who at their school had some kind of day that played on this theme where you sold someone a slave thing, whether you called it slave directly or not. I guess I had heard of these before. I don't think I'd ever, you'd think you'd remember, right? I don't recall ever being involved in anything along these lines, but I'd heard of this. Schools had done this. It was a charity thing. But clearly, Butch is right on the one side, for sure. The context now, the connotation now is horrendous. The question is, was it the same? Did we see it the same 15 years ago? Well, to some degree, for sure. But should a young person, a younger person, a person in university be responsible for their behavior then, for things they did then, that should preclude them from doing anything now? I have a hard time with that. I do. I have a hard time with that because I would suggest that every single person listening, no matter what you've made yourself into in your life, no matter what career you've had, what job you've had, what you've succeeded at, whatever you've done, if you had to answer for every dumb thing you did as a younger person, I bet that none of us would have ever been able to do anything. Because we've all done idiotic things. To me, we should be judging people on what are you doing now? What are you doing now? Have you shown that your behavior has changed? Send me an email, Radley, R-A-D-L-E-Y, Radley at 900CHML.com. Would love to hear your voice on this one. Let's take a break. Back after this. Stay with us.
You're listening to the Scott Radley Show podcast on 900CHML.
6:51 on a Wednesday evening. Time for Matt's story of the day. Matt is in the chair today, and here's how this works. I am going to give Matt three unusual stories from around the world. Matt will ponder them, give them great internal deliberation, and then pop out an answer at the end of which one is his favorite, which becomes Matt's story of the day. And Matt, we've got some good news today. None of today's stories involve anyone dying, let alone two people dying. So we're already off to a better start than yesterday.
That's always
just
good.
Want to say that. All right. Let us start in Philadelphia today, where students at a Catholic school were giving away Mother's Day flowers. Just a couple, well, last weekend was Mother's Day. So they were giving away Mother's Day flowers to, it's not clear if they were selling them or like taking them home to their mothers. However, Mother's Day flowers were being disseminated from this Catholic school. The most pure and beautiful thing possible, right? Give mom a rose, give mom a flower, give her a rose just to show her how much we think of her. What could possibly go wrong? Well, it seems these were not real roses. They were giving out faux roses, first of all. But what nobody apparently noticed was that these roses that the Catholic school had purchased to then redistribute were roses that were stuffed with thongs. Yeah, the rose had a bit of lingerie inside, which was pretty racy for a Catholic school to be given out to mom on Mother's Day. Mom gets the flower home and, oh my, look what's in there. Yes, there, I bet there were at least a few questions after the first rose was cracked open and out popped a frilly thong about what exactly Father Gus was doing. Anyway, that's story number one. Story number two, did you ever see, now you're a young man, so probably not, but did you ever see the movie Babe?
Yes, of course.
About the pig? Did you? Okay, so you did. You've seen Babe the pig movie.
I'm 33 years old, sir.
All right. Well, you're still a young guy. I can't remember when Babe came out. It was like 90s,
wasn't it? Early 90s, were... yeah. No, right, I definitely saw that.
All right. So the guy who was in Babe, now he's been in a lot of other things since, but the guy who was the human star of that was a guy named James Cromwell. Can you picture the guy who was the like Babe's owner in that movie, had the white beard and sort of balding on top? Look it up. You'll know who I'm talking about, James Cromwell. Anyway, it seems that James Cromwell has some strong opinions about plant-based milk. Yes, I said plant-based milk. To the extreme that in New York City this week, James Cromwell superglued himself to a Starbucks counter in New York City to protest Starbucks charging extra for plant-based milk in their drinks. He superglued himself to the counter because what else would you do to protest? And what else would you do to make the case about plant-based milk, which I didn't even know was a thing, honestly. I mean, I guess almond milk. I guess that's what we're talking about, right? Almond milk, oat milk, cashew milk. I guess that's what we're talking about here. But yes, there's a long video of him giving quite a soliloquy after he superglued himself to the counter, explaining how this was discriminatory, and then going on about cows and animal cruelty and on and on. And then all of a sudden, the people around started chanting, "Save the planet, save the cows, stop the vegan, upcharge now." So I guess maybe, you know, if you can get a chant like that put together in quick order, maybe being super glued to the counter was all worth it in the end. But that's what he's doing now. He's not working in movies, I guess, anymore. He's being extracted from a coffee shop countertop. And story number three comes to us from Australia. Now, there's some irony involved in this story because a number of employees are suing their employer for discrimination. And they say that the company discriminated against them because they have disabilities, which, you know, that's a horrible thing. We don't want people being discriminated against for any reason, let alone something like that. So what is the company that is being sued for discriminating against its disabled employees? The National Disability Insurance Agency. Again, it seems to be some element of irony that the company that is supposed to be looking out for the disabled is the one who is being accused of being the one discriminating against the disabled. Not sure that that's great PR for them. Don't know if I want to be on their PR team having to deal with that one, especially if it turns out that they lose in the end. We don't know yet. The lawsuit has only been launched. This thing may go nowhere, but nonetheless, still not exactly great. What's the word? The optics. So, Matt, will your story of the day today be the Mother's Day roses in Philadelphia from the Catholic school stuffed accidentally, or at least unwittingly, with thongs? Will it be the Academy Award-winning actor who superglued himself to the counter of a Starbucks to protest the lack of or the extra cost for dairy from plants in the Starbucks? Or will it be the disability insurance agency being accused of discriminating against the disabled?
See, this, I think I say this every time, but this is the hardest one yet. But I got to go with James Cromwell because, like, I saw it on TV earlier. The image alone, I did laugh out loud. I gotta pick that one. I can't even imagine being there and seeing a famous actor doing what he was doing.
Well,
he had a sign that is, and I don't want to go into the internet culture too much, but it could be exploitable in a Photoshop manner. You could see some funny Babe memes or something. I can't believe I said that word on the air, but there you go.
Well, we know what you mean. It's about the pig, not anything else. You know, the other thing about this that I thought when I saw this story was, this seems like a great idea to make your point until it comes time for you to leave and you realize, holy crap, I'm super glued to a counter. I don't know how you unsuper glue yourself. You probably have to call in the fire department.
Well, and the thing is, like, is anybody really going to make him move at his age? Honestly, I don't think so. I mean, maybe like, I don't think anybody would get physical with James Cromwell.
So maybe I'm missing the point. Maybe if you go to New York 3 weeks from now, he'll still be there, still stuck to the counter in the same clothes, still signing autographs and taking pictures and hoping for dairy free beverages in his drinks.
A part of him will definitely be there.
All right, there you go. Matt's story of the day. We'll take a break. Hour number two of the show coming up right after this. Stay with us.
You're listening to the Scott Radley Show podcast on 900 CHML.
Hour number two of the Scott Radley Show here on 900 CHML. Thanks for being with us. We have got a lot to get to this hour. Let me give you a quiz question right off the bat. No hesitating, no waiting, no dilly-dallying. Let's just get right to it because we want to be able to jam everything else in. This is for you movie lovers out there. This may be tough if you're not a movie lover. But those of you who love your movies, you will probably be okay with this one. The Overlook Hotel is the setting for what terrifying Stephen King-based movie? It's based on a Stephen King novel. The Overlook Hotel is the setting for what terrifying Stephen King movie? 905-645-3221 or star 9900. That is the number. Those are the numbers. Matt is waiting to hear from you. So give Matt a shout. And if you think you know the answer, let us know. And you really should call in because, you know, all work and no play makes Jack a dull boy. So, you know, call in. Yes, that was a hint. Hey, look who's waiting to come on the show right now. He is a good friend of ours. Guy who is very busy. Just got off the air from the spanking new building up on Highway 5 and Highway 6. It still has that new car smell, I'm sure, in the new CHCH headquarters. Bubba O'Neill is with us. Sir, how are you?
Oh, you know, new car smell, but new car struggles as well, too, right? And we're all learning and trying to figure it all out as we go. You know, TV, you don't get a second chance, right? So, you know, it's going to get better. I think the actual product as it is right now is so far superior, at least in terms of looks than what we had in the past. So we're all learning, but again, I know a lot of your listeners, you know, watch us as well, so we thank them for their patience.
Well, if it's anything like learning to drive a stick shift for the first time, you know, it'll take a little while. You grind exactly. A few gears on the way.
Oh yeah, that's for sure.
Can you drive a stick shift?
I've had five cars. My first three were manual transmissions. I missed right, that. Because, I mean, I've always said you had the ultimate control of a car when you have a manual.
But I just think that maybe I'm wrong, but it just seems like so many fewer people know how to do it now. And I loved it except for traffic jams. Traffic jams suck with a manual transmission, but everything else about it is fun.
Yeah, I think they've actually, I mean, it's hard. You actually, I mean, for the most of the time, buying a manual transmission car was cheaper than an automatic. Now, yes. Buying a manual transmission car is more expensive because so many cars are automatic or semi-automatic or semi, you know, double clutch and that kind of thing. So it's become, there will be a time where it probably just truckers driving it, I would guess.
Yeah, years ago, and this is totally off where I was going to go with this, but years ago, I was doing some volunteer work in the jungles of Papua New Guinea. It's a true story. And one of the things we were doing is there was this missionary airstrip, and we were clearing out these giant tree stumps that they had been cut down. But you had to dig around them, and then we hooked it up a chain to this one old truck Jeep thing they had there. Turns out I was the only person among my entire group of 30 people who knew how to drive a stick shift. So thankfully, there was one of us. It was fantastic because it got me out of swinging an axe and digging for hours on end. I could sit in this nice car with my feet, not feet up, but just sit there and wait for them to say, okay, go. You know, there are good reasons to learn things because you never know what it might benefit you. Anyway.
Absolutely.
Different story for a different day. Tell me something. If you were a psychiatrist, and neither of us are, but if you were a psychiatrist, even if you had all the experience in the world as the greatest psychiatrist that ever walked the face of the earth, do you believe that you could sort out what the heck goes on in the minds and heads of the Toronto Maple Leafs?
Well, the Maple Leafs, I think more so their fans and the media, because I think the Leafs as a team are trying to stay as even keel as possible. But as a fan and media people, it's been an unbelievable roller coaster. I mean, each game leading up to game five, one team had a 3-0 advantage. It's like you could shut off the TV after the first period. The momentum swings are unreal. And then in game five, we had, you know, for the first time, lead changes, and, you know, like, woo, lead changes in an actual game. And the emotions of the fans, I mean, that Scotiabank Arena was at a fever pitch yesterday. You know, good for them in terms of the Leafs of a home victory and their fans. And now they're on the verge of, you know, possibly doing something they haven't done since 2004. But, you know, I'm talking to some serious Leaf fans here on this day, and they're automatically believing that they're going to lose tomorrow. So, you know, who knows? Can you imagine a game seven in Toronto on a Saturday night, hockey night in Canada?
Oh, I can imagine it.
To advance. I know you can advance it because I know you're a Leaf Nation. You're part of Leaf Nation.
Well, no, I can imagine it because they had it with the Habs last year and they ended up wetting the bed with that one. And they had it with the Bruins and they wet the bed with that one. I can very easily imagine it. And I mean, if we're not going to talk about the Leafs per se, but their fans, yeah, you know what? Seeing the people around, I don't believe right now, even with a lead, I don't believe that 30% of Maple Leaf fans actually yet believe they're going to win this series. I don't.
That's insane to me when you think about it, because there is no other fan base in the league that's thinking that way.
But there's no other fan base that's been beaten down and kicked in the cojones as many times by their team.
I agree. And that's where the doubting Thomases have come in, right? And that's the Leaf fan right now, because they're so they're so not used to success in the postseason. I mean, think about what happened last year in the 3-1 choke against the Montreal Canadiens, who ended up being the worst team in the league and win the draft lottery this year, and you know, snuck in on the last day of the postseason last season. They're up 3-1, they blow it, they lose in 7 games on home ice to their rival Canadiens. And the mindset of Leafs Nation was, you know what, I don't even care what happens in the regular season. Call me in the postseason. And even still, I'm kind of doubting. It seems to me right now that they're on the verge of getting everyone back on the bandwagon right about now. And we just don't know what's going to happen. It's the best reality show going.
It is, but again, I completely understand all the people who are not willing to fully jump on board yet, because we've been down this road so many times, and it's like, you know, it's very much like, and this is an old school thing for those who are old enough to remember, it's exactly like those old Charlie Brown cartoons where Lucy pulls the football away every single time. You know what's coming. You know that at the end of this thing, somehow, some way, you're going to get punched in the stomach and kicked in the face, and you're going to go through the rest of your summer feeling like crap, and you know it's inevitable.
But I'm telling you, though.
Until they do something to disprove it, though, that will always be the case. They've got to do something to disprove it.
At some point, it has to end. The Cubs won the World Series. The Red Sox won three World Series. The Rangers at one point, the Messier promise. The Jets won a Super Bowl. At some point, these droughts must end. So, there's a different point system than what there was for many, many years in the National Hockey League. But this well could be the best Maple Leaf team of all time in terms of its talent. And certainly in terms of points, you have a 60-goal scorer. Isn't there reason to believe that this is it?
No, I've said this before. We were talking on the show the other day, and I'll tell you why. They could. I'm not saying it couldn't happen, but I'm saying if you're a Leaf fan, you saw them go ahead 2-1 and go down to Tampa with a chance to take a stranglehold on the series, and it was as if they didn't even show up. And that was the part why I said, if you're a psychiatrist, how you possibly get into the heads of a team that looks like it's always, every time it gets on the precipice of success, it says, nah, I'm going to find a new way to torture our fans. They brought up the number on Hockey Night in Canada the other night that the last 8 times the Leafs have been able to clinch a series, they've failed. It's like they're 0-8 in games where they could lock up a series.
Okay.
And well, so,
go ahead, sorry.
No, it can happen. I'm not saying it can't happen. No, I just don't think any Leaf fan is going to expect it until it happens.
Let me twist this around then, somewhat, in a different way. Maybe this is the way maybe Leaf fans should be thinking. You're playing the two-time defending Stanley Cup champions. How are they feeling? Because the two times that the momentum shifts have gone in favor of Tampa and have been utter disappointment for Leaf fans, it's happened twice to the Tampa Bay Lightning, where they completely no-showed, once, like the Maple Leafs, on home ice, and in Game 5, they blew a 2-0, what appeared to be a solid 2-0 lead. So how do they feel right now? Shouldn't they also be walking on glass?
Yes, except for one thing. They are wearing two Stanley Cup rings right now. So if they lose, they don't want to lose, but if they lose, yeah, you know, we've done it, though. Back to back, we did it twice. And everybody's got to lose. You have to win one series. I mean, think about this for a second. Auston Matthews, who I think by most people's estimations is at least a top three player in the league.
Yes.
Is in his sixth year in the league and has never won a single playoff series. It's a stunning thing. So as I say, I look at this and I go, it can happen. It can happen. But I think a lot of Leaf fans sort of figure that tomorrow they're going to show up and they're going to be terrible and it'll come back here for Game 7 and then we can just, every Leaf fan can sit here and just be totally nervous all day and wait, expecting the worst, hoping for the best, but expecting the worst.
Oh,
and we'll see.
Unbelievable. It's so unreal. And I guess, as I said, I understand the reasoning behind it. It's just, it's crazy that
it is. It is
thinking this way.
But one thing before we move along. There are people who have graduated high school this spring or are graduating high school this spring who have not been alive for a single playoff series win by the Leafs.
I don't know how I feel about that. That just makes me feel very old.
It really is. I was at the last game they won at First Ontario, or not First Ontario Center, at Air Canada Center when it was Air Canada Center. Once upon a time. And you're right. It was like, wow, I was early in my career. That was a long time ago. Anyway, let's move along here. Not maybe necessarily a whole lot happier though, because I want to throw something at you that, you know, we hear constantly with baseball, the line that we hear endlessly is, well, it's early. It's early. And yes, Major League Baseball season, it's still early. But we are about a fifth of the way through. It's still early. There's still four-fifths to go, but it's a fifth of the way through. Is it too early to start wondering if maybe the Blue Jays were a little overrated and they're not really as good as we heard they were going to be? Because, Bubba, right now, they're not really that good.
No, they're struggling right now. Consistent hitting. They did have some injuries. Oscar Hernandez is back in the lineup, and he's an important part of being winner of a Silver Slugger Award. They haven't put all the pieces together. Bo Bichette, I mean, this can't continue. Bo Bichette's off to a slow start. I think I'm a little disappointed. If I'm disappointed in anything, it's the starting pitching. I know Kevin Gausman's been real good.
Yep.
But if you look at their five and, in some cases, six-man lineup, they don't have a lot of wins. And I know that wins, you know, aren't held to the same premium that they were many years ago, but your starters have to be better. Jose Berrios has been shaky, to say the least. He got beat again today. Pitched better, you know, for five and a change, but just you're not getting the value out of what you expected. They've lost four in a row. Things, again, it's a long season, and you know at some point they're going to put it all together, and, you know, Vladdy's been kind of stuck on what, seven home runs for a while. I don't think we've seen the potential. I think what really worried me was, yes, the media jumping on board. And I hear this term a lot being thrown around by local baseball types. And this is not a shot at anyone. But, I mean, I hear this, you know, talking about a particular part of the Blue Jays game, whether it be the hitting or Vladimir Guerrero, or I can go on. And I hear, such and such is the best in baseball. Well, how do we know that, right? Like that's just a prediction or an observation or a kind of a homer opinion. You know, I hear a lot of this. So and so is the best in baseball, or Charlie Montoya is the best in bed. Like, I just am certainly not, but like, I do you remember?
It's wrong. It's wrong no matter who says it. You want to know why? Because there is only one best in baseball right now, and it's still Mike Trout, and it's not really a fair fight. So you might be the second best in baseball.
Yeah, or, you know, Otani, or I even throw his name in there. Or what about Aaron Judge, right? Like, leading the league in home runs, you know, he hits his first ever career walk-off yesterday. You know, certainly the engine in that Yankee team that are, what, 21-8 right now? Everyone seems to just say, oh, the Yankees. They put together a product almost every single year. You know Tampa is going to be difficult, where the Jays are, you know, are going to start a three-game series on Friday. They always seem to get great bang for the buck in their terms of their product and what they pay for it. And Tropicana Field has always been a house of hell for the Blue Jays. So, you know, getting off on the right track on Friday and maybe winning a series, and I know the Jays had won, well, I think they'd won 7 of their first 8 series. They've got to have to find some consistency. And I don't know if it's whether it's the offense or the defense. They can't seem to put it all together. But with that said, it's baseball. You play 162. So in some ways, it's still early.
It is. And you know, when I agree that it's early. I just look at some of the stuff that was supposed to be real strengths of this team. And, like, they cannot today, I think they were, what, 0 for 8 with runners in scoring position? They can't drive in a run to save their life.
Yep.
And that's not just today. Their starting pitching has struggled. Their batting has been way subpar. And, yeah, you know what? They will get better. I believe that, like you. I think they will start to figure it out. The question becomes, you know what, do you really, the point here in modern baseball is you do not want to be the wild card team, because then your season comes down to a game.
Yep.
You don't want that. You want to win your division. And right now, I mean, you're letting the Yankees build up such a lead here that, you know what, you may make it really difficult. Is there any reason to believe the Yankees are suddenly going to crap out? I don't know.
Well, I mean, the pace they're going at right now, it can't continue.
They won't go. No, they won't continue like this.
Slow down somehow. Boston will be better. You know, Boston will be somewhat better. They've been awful. Baltimore, you know, traditionally awful too. But they, you know, I think they're only what, 2 or 3 games behind the Blue Jays right now. So that goes to show you where the Jays are right now, and the fact that they, as you said, they're underachieving. So what the early standards were set by a whole lot of, you know, people that were smarter in baseball than I am.
There was a copy of Sports Illustrated, probably 1984, maybe around then. You may or may not remember this one. It had Joe Carter when he was with the Cleveland Indians and Corey Snyder on the cover. And it was how the Indians were going to win the World Series. Well, it had already been about 40 years at that point since they'd won, and they haven't won it since. And when everybody this year was talking about how the Jays were shoo-ins, the Jays were the class of everything, the Jays were going to run away with it, that image of that front page just burned into my brain. It's like, you know, when everybody says that something's going to happen, it's probably not going to happen. We'll see.
You don't want – sorry, Scott. I don't even think you need to go that far back, Scott.
Well, how far would you go back?
Go back to the signing of R.A. Dickey. The Blue Jays, by Las Vegas standards, were picked to be the World Series champion that year. The acquisition of R.A. Dickey, they had re-signed some players. I remember being there on opening night, and I think Dickey threw, like, I mean, of course, he had that knuckleball that no one could catch at the time because he was so new. He threw like 4 wild pitches. They lost the game to Minnesota, I believe, or he's in Minnesota or Baltimore for some reason. That sticks in my head. And they lost that game. And it was like that first game of the season, that home opener, was just sort of an example of what we were going to see all year long. There was so much expectation. And I'll further this thought in the sense of Rogers Sportsnet. As they did leading up to this season and still continue to do. And I mean, they're not going to say we're not a good team, but the promotion, the heavy rotation of commercials, the in-your-face sort of attitude about how good the team is going to be, almost to the point of, you know, some of the broadcasters just sort of bleeding Blue Jay blue. And that was a huge disappointment that year. And I'm not going to say that's happening this year, but as you said, inauspicious start.
Yeah, not what was expected. Still time. It is still early.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, it's not the first week or two of the season. We're a month and a half in now. And, you know, at a certain point, you say, you got to get going.
Other than Teoscar Hernandez, what happens when the injuries start to pile up? It's going to happen.
Hey, just before we go, and we only really have time for almost a yes or no on this one. I haven't heard there was supposed to be a proposal from the CFL to the CFLPA today. They were apparently meeting in Toronto. They're in negotiations right now. Yes or no, the CFL season will begin on time?
Yes. You cannot have a missed 2020 season, a shortened 2021 season, and, you know, not have a full 2022 season. It's I hate using the word suicide, but I will use it in this case. You can't not have a season or work or some type of labor interruption.
Yeah, we were talking the other day on the show. The one caveat to that might be, you know, maybe the players and the owners looked at it and said, you know, we used to think that, but then we only played 14 games last year and we did just fine. So maybe we could have a strike and it wouldn't be the death of us.
The fans are losing patience. They have no time for work stoppages. We're coming out of COVID, all this stuff. People are struggling. They don't want to hear about, well, I won't say billionaire owners and millionaire players because that's not the case in this league, but you know what I'm saying.
Yeah.
I think you're already sort of teeter-tottering in some markets right now that have always been strong traditional markets. Maybe not so much Hamilton, but there are some generally strong markets, say Edmonton. Now, that have a lot to do with Edmonton wins and losses too. But people are, they're like, show me before I show up and spend my money and buy a ticket.
That is Bubba O'Neill. You can hear him and see him and watch him and write to him and, do whatever. He's on CHCH all the time. Fan mail. Fan mail, I'm sure, is always appreciated. So, feel free. Bubba, thanks for doing this. Always appreciate it.
Oh, thanks for having me. Appreciate it.
Quick break here on the Scott Radley Show. Back after this. Stay with us.
You're listening to the Scott Radley Show podcast on 900 CHML.
Scott Radley Show here on 900 CHML. So every once in a while, something we like to do on the show, because we always get people asking for these. Every time I do this, we have people say, that was cool, do that again. So we're going to do this again. It is things that you thought you knew, but maybe really didn't know. You'll understand as soon as we get into this. I'm going to bring Matt in here. Matt's going to jump in with me, and Matt's going to be put on the spot here to try and answer some questions. But Matt, the benefit to you is the expectation is you're going to get them wrong. So if you do, there's no shame on you, because I think most people, myself included, if I didn't have the answer in front of me, would not know this. All right. So there's no shame for anything you get wrong here. These are not like one bell questions. These are ones that would be really hard for people. For example, sounds simple. Why is German chocolate cake named German chocolate cake?
Well, I mean, I don't know that.
What would be the obvious? The obvious would be
that it could be from Germany.
Right. And your answer there, I would say 95% of people listening probably say, well, yeah, it's from Germany. It's German chocolate. So that's, of course, why it's German chocolate cake. No. German chocolate cake is named that because it was invented by a guy named Sam German. See? That's the kind of thing I'm talking about, where things you thought you knew, but probably didn't. Now, if you knew that one, kudos to you for knowing, because I had no idea about that.
Well, this I didn't even know what German chocolate cake was, so I didn't have that going for me either.
So go look that one up and find yourself some, because once you've walked into that world, you've done well for yourself. All right, this next one, there's a chance some people might know, although it's still very tricky. What is the creature on Earth that kills more people than any other one every year? What creature causes more death than any other creature on Earth? And not man. We're not talking about that.
Yeah, I was...
And honestly, yeah. I don't even know if it would be more than this one. It probably would. But leaving man out of this, what other creature causes more death than any other?
So is this like a very specific creature? Is this like a group? Yeah. Okay, so
it's very specific. Very, like, so it might be snakes. It might be sharks. It might be whatever. What is the thing that you think would be the thing that would cause the most death?
Geez, I want to give you an answer, but I honestly don't have one. I bet it's something small, though.
You're right. Really small. The mosquito.
Okay.
Because it carries all kinds of diseases all over the world. Malaria and other things. The mosquito causes more death than any other creature on Earth. All right, this next one is just bizarre. This is bizarre. And in fact, I went and triple checked this because I thought there's no way this could be true. All right. So there is, if you could get this one, Matt, honestly, this is like, I would not know what kind of books you were reading or what you were studying if you get this one right. Because I would say there's a 0% chance people are going to know this. What a chainsaw that we think of as, you know, to be used for cutting down trees. The original chainsaw, the first model of a chainsaw was used for what purpose? Was invented for what purpose?
I'm going to say surgery.
You are on, yes. Okay, so what kind of surgery, though? A very specific kind of surgery. So good for you. That's amazing.
I'm going to say.
But what specific kind of surgery?
Oh, boy. I want to say cranial surgery.
You know what? Wrong end of the body.
Okay. Wrong end, huh? Is it like amputating feet or something like that?
The original chainsaw was invented in 1780 by two doctors to make the removal of the pelvic bone easier during childbirth. That's disgusting that a chainsaw was, now it was not an electric thing like we see now. Like, it was not that. It was a hand cranked thing that looked like a modern day butter knife with little teeth on it. And I guess that their thought was that it could make childbirth a little bit easier. But yes, the chainsaw, very different from what we see now, was invented for childbirth. That is, I never would have known that one. Never would have known that.
I'm going to try to forget about that, to be honest.
It's probably for the best. Now, see, I did not know that our alphabet, I don't know the history of our alphabet, apparently, because I just assumed wrongly that somebody sat down and created our alphabet from the Greek, you know, alpha, beta. We made a new, and all the letters were there all at once. It turns out our original alphabet did not have all the letters we have right now. So, you've got 1 in 26 chance. What was the last letter of our alphabet that was added to the alphabet?
You know, I'm going to say W.
J. Why J? No idea. But J is the last letter that was added to the alphabet. Wouldn't it have made sense, though, if they just made our alphabet and it was there? How do you, at a certain point, as you've been talking and reading and writing, all of a sudden say, you know what we're missing? That J sound. Wouldn't that have been obvious from the beginning?
I'm not going to go down that rabbit hole. I
would have thought so. I would have thought, you would make the sounds and go, okay, we need something for this and something for this, but apparently they missed the J. Okay, so before the invention of color television sets, 75% of people who had a black and white television set said they did what in black and white?
Dream?
Yes. 75% of people who had a black and white television set said they dreamed in black and white, which is
sad.
I know that our dreams are often related to our experiences, but I never thought of it that closely that would have that kind of effect.
Yeah, I wonder if anybody could try that again now, some kind of experiment. Although you'd probably have to pay them, but yeah.
But now it would be all like, okay, my dreams are in 4D.
4K.
4K, I mean, yeah, 4K. okay, this is a tough one because probably you've never seen a live wombat. nonetheless, we're going to throw it out there. What shape is wombat poop?
I think I know this one. It's square.
It is. How did you know that? It's cute. How in the world did you know that? Yes.
My wife is a vet tech, and I have kids, so it was only a matter of time me learning that.
That is well done. Amazing. Yes, wombat poo is in the shape of a cube, which would feel, you would think that would be very uncomfortable to pass that with edges, but apparently it's okay. They, you know, they're all okay. You don't hear the screaming wombats when they go to the bathroom, so it must be fine. The British royal family is not allowed, according to an edict by the Queen herself, they are not allowed to play what board game?
Oh, boy. Geez, let me go through the old board game Rolodex. I don't know. I don't even have a guess for that. I'm going to say Monopoly.
Monopoly! Okay. Two in a row for Matt. Way to go. Matt is on a roll. Yes, the royal family, by rule of the Queen, is not permitted to play Monopoly. It's unclear why, but this was apparently shared in an interview that Prince Charles, or I think it was Prince Charles, gave, and it popped out that they are not allowed to play. Maybe it's because it looks bad if the royal family is playing. Who knows what the what the reason is, but they are not allowed to do that. Okay, let us see here. Okay. Pretty sure that your streak of two in a row, which, by the way, is exceptional, because even two in a row in this game is really impressive, Matt. So kudos to you. Before the planet Uranus was known as Uranus, what was it known as? What was its name?
Okay, because I know, like, the semantics, it's like Uranus now. But I honestly, I'm guessing it's some kind of other god or something like that. But I got nothing.
For a brief time, it was named after the king, so that planet was known as George.
that's incredible. That's incredible.
Planet George. Yes, I like it. Then
we need to revert
Uranus.
To that. Let's revert to that.
You know what? Why not?
Like, if only in our own homes.
You could just call it George. Yes. All right. What Iceland? Now, I had to look this one up, too, because I thought this is ridiculous. And I think that this is now certainly ceremonial more than real. Nonetheless, what Iceland has a what type of person who inspects construction sites before anything gets built? They have a very specific type of person who does a very specific job at construction sites before anything gets built. What job is that? Throw out the wildest thing you could think of and you still won't get it right.
Oh, okay. Because when you said... I was thinking it was going to be some kind of animal or something doing some kind of silly thing, but it's a specific job.
It's a very specific job that is very bizarre. So what would be the most bizarre thing somebody could do at a construction site?
Jump on a roof? Like to test the roof?
Yeah, no, that would make sense. No, Iceland has an official elf whisperer who inspects construction sites before anything gets built to make sure no elves are hanging around.
How much does that pay?
It's a good question. That would seem to be a pretty good job, because the likelihood of you having to do any real work would be...
except for that one time.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, at which case you panic and flee and never come back again. Okay, within... And again, this one, again, we're going by... I looked this up. Apparently it's true. I have no hands-on experience with this, so I can't completely vouch for it, but apparently this is true. Within 10, how many ingredients are there in a McRib sandwich?
60?
You're within 10. 70. Okay. Apparently there are 70 ingredients in a McRib sandwich. Let's see. We got time for two more here. What can we find here? The largest tire manufacturer in the world. What company is the largest, makes the most tires?
I'm going to say Bridgestone just because I can't remember the other ones.
Yeah, no, Bridgestone, Michelin, anyone? No, Lego. Lego makes more tires. I know it's a tricky one, but yes, Lego makes more tires than any other company.
You know, I momentarily forgot what we were doing. That's what it was.
Well, you know, because all of these are like, yeah, no, we're never going to get these. Although, as I say, I'm impressed that you've had I'm impressed that you've got the ones we have.
I'm very good at BSing answers for this kind of stuff. Let me tell you. We have trivia night.
Do you? Well, these ones are really hard. Like, there's no way you people would get these ones. These are wild. Okay, last one. Let me see. All right. This one's actually pretty easy, but it's pretty funny, so we'll go with it. You'll get this one. In the 19th century, horizontal refreshment was a euphemism for what?
I'm guessing kissing. I don't know. This might be. Am I going not deep enough into this?
I would say, yeah, go a little further.
Okay, the act of making love, then?
You bet. Horizontal refreshment. So if you need, I love that saying. If you need some way to, you know, encourage your special person this evening after the show is done, say, I need some horizontal refreshment. That's got a classy undertone to it, doesn't it? Yeah, there's tons more here. We'll get back to some of these otherwise. But yes, German chocolate cake, not German. And the chainsaw, not made for chopping down trees initially. Who knew? Your quiz question this evening. The Overlook Hotel is the setting for what terrifying movie based on a Stephen King novel? 905-645-3221 or *9900. Back with the answer after this.
You're listening to the Scott Radley Show podcast on 900 CHML.
The Overlook Hotel is the setting for what terrifying Stephen King novel-based movie? The Shining is the answer with Jack Nicholson. If you ever seen that one, you know what I'm talking about. Matt, did anybody get it tonight?
Yes, they did. Let's do this quick because we're against the clock here. Mike, Russell, Wayne, Caitlin, Stu, and Cameron.
Excellent job. That was a tough one. That was a really tough one. Folks, we'll be back tomorrow at 6. We would hope you will be as well. Love to have you along for the ride. Talk to you then. Have a great night.
Want to hear more? Download the podcast on iTunes or Google Play and listen to The Scott Radley Show.
Weeknights from 6 to 8
on 900 CHML.
Hi, it's Shauna, and I might be a bad parent because my kids think french fries are vegetables.
Hey, it's Ryan, and I might be a bad parent because I went out for wings when my wife was in the hospital after giving birth.
Johnny here. I might be a bad parent because in my house, the tooth fairy gives pocket change.
But we're not alone. Len emailed us and said his six-year-old daughter's Tarzan moment going from love seat to lazy boy by curtains made him more proud than any dance recital.
And Andy left his two-year-old at the rink.
All right, guys, I'm sure we're not alone, like Andy's kid.
For stories and confessions like this, make sure you check out our podcast.
It's called Bad Parents, and it's available wherever you get your podcasts.
I left a glove at the rink.